Thank you so much for your giving. We appreciate it. We live strong in these last days, don't we? Live strong, do great exploits. The Bible says, he that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're strong. Bible says the righteous get stronger and stronger. They go from strength to strength. Our strength is not fading. We're not getting weak. We're getting strong. To do more for Jesus. Amen. He's coming soon. So before he does, we got work to do. He said to work while it is day, the night time cometh when no man works. That means you have a season. Remember what Ted Allen used to say? He said, work real hard for the Lord while you're young. He said, when you get older, you want to, but you can't do as much. He said, so work when you can, while you got strength, and for the Lord. Amen? And so that's good wisdom. So it's all about Jesus. Satan wants to keep us confused. He wants to keep us caught up in the affairs of life. He wants to keep us caught up in the things of this world where we can't concentrate on the Lord and what he has to do. But only what we do for the Lord will last. Nothing else will last. Amen. The Bible said the kingdom of God is not food and drink. It's not about things we do in the natural. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're working on sounds different in here. We got all the sound stuff that Buffett, you know, it holds the sound. All the curtains are down, and we had some little fluffy stuff up and things. So it makes a difference. Sound, you know, it bounces around. So we'll have to get all that. Sounds pretty good, though, don't it? The music sounded good. Kathy did a good job getting everything balanced out there. And so guys do real good back there. Praise the Lord. Yep, do it. Guys said not throw nothing at them if it didn't sound right. I make no promises. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, I want to give a kind of shout out for Nathan. Nathan ran a race last weekend, 80-mile race, 24 hours. And he won. Amen. Yeah, I guarantee you, he better do it when he's young. Amen. 24 hours, run 80 miles. I don't know if I'd run that far if somebody's after me. I told him, I said, you about ready to go to Vietnam? I'll send you. Of course, that's vacation place now over there. Don't send him over there. We'll send him to Afghanistan. He can run through them mountains. You pay him for it. I said, you ought to go into the military, the Marine Corps, the Rangers or something. They'll pay you to do that stuff. Yeah, they'll pay you, give you food and drink, and clothes, place to sleep. You can run all you want to. They'll pay you every month. Run for nothing. There's a scripture in Timothy I like. It says, bodily exercise profiteth little. That's my scripture. Praise the Lord. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Didn't say it didn't profit. But that's in comparison to spiritual things. Amen. You run, you get tired, but the Bible promises us when we run for the Lord, we don't get tired. We go from strength to strength. Praise the Lord. Look with me in Romans, book of Romans, chapter 1. Aren't you liking all the stuff going on in our wonderful government? And how crazy they are. Donald Trump is the toughest man in the world. I'll tell you, I don't know anybody could go through what he's went through for 3 years and still be fighting. That's called the strength of God. That's why you know you're called of God. That's how you know you have the hand of God on you. And I tell Christians, you know, the Democrat Party anyway, you know, you better take your party back. And I'll tell them, those are Democrats, look what's happened to your party. You know, if you're still going to be a Democrat, you better kind of sit down and kind of count the cost. They're not what they used to be. Can you imagine what's running on the Democrat Party for president? A socialist and a homosexual. Somebody said the other day, was talking about the guy that's leading now in the primary, Buttigieg. He has a husband. I don't know if it's his husband or his wife. I don't know which one's the wife. He's the wife. Oh, he's the husband, the other one's his wife. Well, he said so. And like that, it's just whatever you say. He said so. So, you know, you just pick one. That's what you do. So he picked the other one to be the wife. And so that, is that amazing? And he's leading in the primary. What has happened to our nation? I mean, that is amazing. That's beyond my comprehension. I can't imagine that the Democrat Party, of course, I can understand, you know, the young people, the liberals, the college graduates and all them, they've been brainwashed. But old Southern Democrats and these older people that still, can you imagine what the inauguration parties and stuff would be in Washington if he won for president? Could you believe what would be open? The demonic doorways would be opened in our nation? I mean, if people don't think, especially church, they don't realize that things are behind everything is spirits. Behind everything is a spirit. Either evil spirits or the Holy Spirit. It's behind everything. Nothing is just natural. It's either God or the devil. That's it, everything. And so if it was just natural, I mean, it'd just be natural. It'd be a big deal, but it wouldn't be, you know, as bad as it would be if it's allowed to go on, because you got to think, when things are happening, what offends God? Or how do we attract God? And if God's angry at us or God's not pleased with our nation, then we're in trouble. And so we have to consider that when we're considering anything, voting or whatever. What does God think about it? That's how I think. Because God either blesses or he doesn't bless. America's not great because we're so smart. We're not that much smarter, or not any smarter than the rest of the world. Actually, the rest of the world now, in most nations, even third world nations, their young people are far more educated and smarter than American now that's coming out of colleges. They can't even compete in the world of technology and other things. The kids from India that's coming out of their schools, they can't even compete. American kids can't even hold them a candle. So we're not that much smarter. We're not that much stronger. We have a lot more military access because of the money we've had. The only thing that makes America great is God. It's God. And if we offend God and turn away from God, then we don't have a chance. And so we have to think about that. It's not about the person or the people. You know, I'm not against anybody. I'm not against him or Bernie Sanders, anybody. It's what they're doing. It's the whether God likes it. And we have to consider that. Now then, we don't even know they all of us praying, you know. Nancy Pelosi prays. She prays and goes across the street and kills babies. How deceived are we? And Buttigieg, he prays. He says God's called him to be president. Says he's ordained him to be president. So I don't know. God's in everything. What God, you know? So it's something, isn't it? Romans chapter 1. And we'll look in verse 19. Because, verse 1, did I say chapter 1, I mean? Did I say chapter 1? Well, that's right. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Wow. For since the creation of the world, from the very beginning, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Wow. Being understood. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes or his nature, who God is, his nature, is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Wow, that's talking about nature, the world, nature. Since the creation, God's nature is clearly seen and it's also understood by everybody. Now, the Bible's doesn't lie. The Holy Ghost isn't lying. That's true. I've had people ask me, one day I was in a dentist chair, and my dentist, he's a Christian. Goes to another church, and not a church like ours. He goes to Baptist church, and good man. Actually, something happened in their church, and kind of got some confusion in there, and he wasn't going for a while, but he needed to tithe, so he sent his tithe over here to us. Because he said, I believe in what you're doing. Well, praise the Lord, that's a pretty good testimony, isn't it? Said he trusted me and believed in what I was doing. And he said he'd rather give it to me as tithe as anybody he knew. So praise God, I took it. Hallelujah. Wasn't nothing like what I'd given him, but. Ask him what he did to that boat I bought him. I said, you still like that house at the beach I bought you? I give him a hard time. And he's asking me, you know, and you hear this question come up, I don't know what time. What about the man in the jungle somewhere that's never heard of God? What about him? This scripture answers that. Every place in the world, wherever you go, no matter where, somebody is worshiping God. How they worship now is different than how we worship, but a lot of them worship in what light they have. But you won't find any person on this earth, any tribe, any person that doesn't have a sense of God and worship God. And they call him something. Some of them has, in every human being, in every place, has sought God. They don't understand, don't know what his name is. That's our job to go tell him, go tell them what the God's name is they've been seeking. This God you've been seeking, you remember what Paul did when he went, was to Mars Hill? Over Mars Hill? And there was a sign there said, to the unknown God. They had all the names of the gods up there and had one there, to the unknown God. And he preached his sermon to that unknown God they were worshiping, but they didn't know his name. And he said, I want to tell you about this God you've been worshiping here. I want to tell you what his name is. His name is Jesus Christ. You can go to India. They have 333 million gods. The American Indians, they worshiped God. They called him the Great Spirit. Now, in their seeking God, oftentimes the evil spirit will appear to them and will take them off course, and it'll become demonic in nature. Then they'll get into human sacrifice and all kind of things, and it becomes demonic. But I'll guarantee you, God showed them the way. You see God, if you didn't have a Bible, you can see God in everything on this. Everything points to God. If you look at creation, and the things that are in threes, you can find God. God's in everything. He shows himself in everything. God's in nature. You can go out in the woods. I love. That's why, you know, people like to run like Nathan, or people like to go hiking. You know, hiking, what they call hiking. Person around here that grew up around here hikes. I never seen a country boy that hiked. It's all some city guy or some implant. No country boy that I ever grew up with hiked. We walked through the woods. And when they go hiking, they go through the woods just fast and go. I went hiking. It was about slow down. You missed too much stuff. I like to walk through the woods. You can see God and hear God. He'll speak to you loud and clear. You can see him in everything. You can hear him in everything. If you get stressed out, if you get where you can't hear God, or if you need to find God, you need to listen to God, go to nature. Don't go downtown. You can't find God in man-made stuff. Everything downtown's man-made. The streets, the lights, the buildings, you can't even see the sky, most cities. God's not there. You can't hear God. I mean, he's there, but you can't hear him. You can't find him, so much noise. But if you want to find God and find peace and rest and hear God real plain, go to nature. I like where we live. I like it the way it used to be better, because everywhere around me was woods. You couldn't even see a house. You go on my back porch and it was just nature. Birds and animals. I was sitting on the back porch one day, and there's a big log down beside my porch there, or, you know, some people deck. Some people call it a deck. I call it a porch. You know, same thing. Just where you're from. And anyway, I was sitting out there in a rocking chair reading my Bible, and there's a big log down there, and I had bird seed on it where I fed my birds and stuff. You know, I helped God out. And all of a sudden, I heard a noise. I thought, and there's the squirrels there eating, you know, eating that sunflower seed, picking out that bird seed and stuff. And I thought, man, that's a big squirrel. Made a noise, and I looked down, that big old bobcat jumped up on that log, called a squirrel. He just sat there a while and looked at me. And I looked at him, and he just walked off. Poor old squirrel, but bobcat had a nice meal. Nature, God's in everything. And I love to go out there and sit, especially if you get stressed out or, you know, and people, you know, everybody can get people tired. You know, if you work a job all through the week and everything, you know, you can get people tired. Doesn't mean you don't like people, you just get people tired. You need to pull away. And I call it porch time. I love it. Still like it. It's still good. I don't have many neighbors now. I've got good neighbors, but I can see a house they build around me. But I like that. I told the Lord when I was looking for a place to build a house, you know, I want it, you know, in nature, in the woods, and someplace where I could find him and hear him. I like that. You can go out in the woods and sit on a stump, you know, you can hear God. God's in nature. Everything points to God. Amen? It says his invisible character. His nature is seen in nature or everything that he created. Amen? You can find him. Now notice, you can understand everything by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Meaning, everyone that will stand before God cannot have an excuse and say, I didn't know who you were. Now, they may not know Jesus, but God is such a just God that he will judge man based on what life they had, based on how they sought what they knew. I don't understand all of it and how he'll judge, but I know what the Bible says. God's in nature. Now notice, and it said, because although they knew God, well, how did they know him? In nature. They found him, they saw him in what he created. And although they knew him, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. Wow. What's that mean? Well, you ought to be thankful for the trees and the grass, birds, for the things around. You have to stop you and smell the flowers. We're in such a big hurry going through life, we forget that God's all around us. And we don't stop and thank him. We don't stop and enjoy. Amen? And by that, we can't see him and understand him. And we get all stressed out, confused, mixed up. Life has a way of causing us to be mixed up. Amen. They did not glorify him, neither were they thankful, but they became empty in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts became dark because they thought they were wise and they became fools. Now, I got to thinking about this. How God's in nature and how God's, and I got to thinking about this and got to thinking about how things are and what is the nature of God. Well, the nature tells us who God is, and God's whole nature speaks of God, and he's a healing God. Everything around us points to God's a healer. And I got to looking at some things, scripture and stuff, you know, or some, not scripture, but things on the inner tube. And your body is designed to heal itself. Everything around you, nature, even the nature that the liberals are trying to save, heals itself. They can't We're not going to destroy the earth. We may destroy ourselves. But, you know, out in California and places, everything burn up. They tried to save all the trees and save all the bushes and everything burn up. And nature healed itself. And it comes back better than it was. You know, they tell you, even the redwood trees, they won't, the seeds from the redwood tree won't sprout until they're under intense heat. Nature speaks of God. Did you know that you were created from one cell? One cell is how you started out. And I looked, you know, and let's see, I know it wrote down somewhere. I'm not very good at that with notes. And the cells now in a full-grown human body is 37.2 trillion. And that's what I said on the inner tube. And you started with one. And they kept multiplying. And one cell supposedly has, you know, protein in it, whatever, and it finds a seed or sperm. And it connects with that. And I forget how many million cells or whatever, you know, it connects, trillion or something. But inside that one cell, it's called DNA. And that cell, everything about your human body is created by the cells. And that cell, inside that one little cell, starts out, and certain parts of those cells that multiply themselves, in that cell, it multiplies itself into other cells, and some of the cells inside, that's a hand. Well, which cell knows it's supposed to be a hand? And other cells in that cell becomes a leg. And they begin to be put together. Then some of it becomes a brain. And some of it becomes a spine. And it's a heart and lungs. And all of that's in that one cell in the human body. And they say every 7 years, you become new, brand new. Cells regenerate themselves. God speaks everything he speaks about in everything you study about the body or nature shows us that God's a healer. He speaks loud to us. He's a healer. And then we doubt whether or not it's his will to heal us. And we don't know whether or not he wants to heal us. God, or he created our bodies to heal itself. Then we doubt whether or not he wants to get involved in healing us. You can cut yourself. And you know, go on the internet and read what all takes place in the human body when you cut yourself. It's absolutely amazing how cells, everything goes into action. Everything, alarm signals go off in your body. If a virus or a germ or something enters your body, everything goes on alert. The alarm system goes off. And everything rushes to that spot to heal it, to drive it out, and to heal your body. Then we wonder if God wants to heal us. Then when we pray, well, I'm not sure if God wants to heal me. And your body tells you, everything about it tells you that he's a healer. He created it to heal itself. He created the earth to heal itself. God made one tree. He made one apple tree, one peach tree, one pear tree. He didn't make as many as there are. He made one. And out of that one, you see all the different kind of apples and the different oranges and everything. They just keep regenerating, just keep recreating on and on for thousands of years. It's not going to go anywhere, not going to die. The earth's not. God created it to live. There's life in it and everything. There's a life in a seed, just like the cells. One cell. Is that not amazing? God is a healer. Your body is made out of the dust of the earth. Well, I know growing up on a farm, when we grew crops, you know, you can take the ground and you can deplete that ground by raising a crop on the same place every year. And after a period of time, the Bible says, or God teaches us 7 years, you should lay that piece of ground aside and let it regenerate itself. And we would sow on a piece of ground what we'd call cover crop. Some kind of rye, grass, fescue or something. We'd sow that on that grass, on that ground that we'd grown cropped on, and we'd go to another piece of ground, and that ground would replenish itself or heal itself. That piece of ground would. And what happened now, man come along, and you can keep that same piece of ground, and you can put fertilizers and everything in it that and keep restoring what was taken out of that ground, and it'll keep producing if you keep putting nutrients in it. Well, it tells me your body is made out of the same dirt that you grow tomatoes out of. Did you know that? Out of the same dirt that you grow tomatoes out of, your body was made out of it. Well, if that dirt has to have nutrients or fertilizer, your body has to have a certain nutrients and things in it to keep it going. That's why you can't poison the ground and cause it to produce right. Neither can you poison your body and put all kinds of things in it and think it's going to produce right. And think God's going to heal it. Amen? Well, that's better preaching you're looking. I got all kinds of notes and I don't know what in the world. Let's read some of them, see what they say. You want to? Let's look in. Over in Psalms 19, I'm sure these are good scriptures. Our God, He's so awesome. I'll tell you, I got a message one time, a great message. this lady that used to cut my hair, she came to the church over in the old building, and I preached the message I got out of the encyclopedia on how big is God. And I just got it out of the encyclopedia I was reading one day and it, about the universe and the stars and the heavens and how many miles and this. And, I mean, it's amazing. And that's just like in one, just one place. It's one solar system. They tell us that there's millions or even billions of solar systems out there. And the scientists, they got that big telescope now, and it reaches far beyond what they've ever been able to see, and it's still out there, and they're discovering more solar systems that they didn't think existed. You see, the Earth is in one solar system. What is our solar system called? Milky Way? Is that the name of our solar system? galaxy. Well, anyway, whatever they call it. What's the solar system? You don't know any more than I do. What's a Milky Way or Snickers? Yeah. But galaxy. The solar system is bigger than a galaxy, right? Huh? Or the other way around? Yeah. You can tell I don't know anything about this. But I just read all that stuff out of the encyclopedia. Just how big God was. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how many years it would take. It said some stars have been burned out hundreds of years. And we're just now getting the light from them. And they travel at the speed of light, which is what? Huh? You're a school teacher. And these stars have been burned out hundreds of years, and we're just now getting the light from them. God's a big God. And he created the universe, created the solar system, created the galaxies. And in the middle of it, in this solar system, galaxy, or wherever we're at, he made this little round ball called the earth. What is man that they are mindful of him? And he created all of this universe, the stars, trillions of miles, light years. I was reading where just from one planet or star to another place was like 36 trillion light years away. I mean, that's just, we can't even comprehend something like that. And that's just one thing in this. And then here where we're at, he made the earth. He creates the universe first, and he made man. And he made the earth, made all that, and put man on the earth, made him out of the dust. And why did God create man? What was the purpose? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why did he create us? I've heard people say, if you ask people that, most of the answers you'll get is you get one of two answers. He needed a family, and he needed fellowship, and he needed somebody to worship. Well, why did he create us? Well, he wanted to, sure. That's it. I guess that's it. Let's go home. He wanted to. That just solves everything. Yeah, for his pleasure, he wanted to. But, I mean, it's got to be deeper than that. It has to be deeper than that. Sure, it's his pleasure. He created everything for his pleasure. But why did he? What about him? I mean, I think beyond that. I think bigger than that. Why, God? David did. What is man? Why am I here? David asked that. Why am I here? Why did you create me? What's this for? Who is God? Where are you at? I mean, Job asked that. And I've studied that. Why did you, was there a need for man? I mean, God is God. The Bible says God is from the beginning to the end. Where God is, there's no time. Where God is, it's the start and finish at the same place. He's the beginning and the end at the same place. There is no time. So he's at the beginning and the end, and it's always the beginning and the end where he's at. Figure that out. And God is self-sufficient. God needs nothing. God said, if I was hungry, would I call you? Would I ask you to feed me? If I was thirsty, if God had a need, would he ask us? But God has needs. God didn't just create us. Why did Jesus die? To redeem a man that God created that he knew he was going to fall before he ever created him, before the foundation of the earth? He created man, and he knew when he created man, before he ever created him, before he ever established the earth or the universe, he knew man would fall and he'd have to give his son to die. I mean, we say, well, because he wanted to send his son through that suffering and that pain. We say, well, for his pleasure, you mean he had pleasure on creating something that would cause him to have to give himself to die on a cross to redeem a man he knew that was going to fall before he ever created him? So why create him? He had no need to create him for that. I mean, he said, well, that gives me pleasure. Pleasure to what? Is he a sadistic God? Did he need it then? Pleasure in watching his son suffer and die for man that he knew would fall and there'd be a hell? That most of the people that he created would go there and suffer eternity? So he did that for his pleasure? I think not. Well, he did that because he wanted to. You mean he wanted man to suffer in hell? It's got to be deeper than that, isn't it? So God's self-sufficient. God needs nothing. God's not sad. God needs no fellowship. God needs nobody to worship him. He had millions and trillions of angels all around him to worship him. They cry night and day, holy, 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 art thou Lord God Almighty. Everywhere but yet in the midst of all of that. Self-sufficient God's always existed. I mean, I can't even figure that out. Where'd God come from? When did he create? Did he create himself? Did he have a God? Did he have a beginning? He always has been. He is the beginning. When was the beginning? You can't find that out. No wonder Job got confused asking questions. Then all of his friends begin to say, Job, it's your fault. You did this, and here's the reason. And all his, you know, theological friends kept and come over and explaining everything to him. And finally, he got so mad at them. Then when he prayed for them, why do you have to pray for them? Because he's going to kill them. Then God showed up. And after 9 months of all their answering and brainstorming, trying to figure out why he was sick, you ought to go through and read Job and all of his friends, you know, telling him to answer to all these questions. Then finally one day God showed up and said, Job, where was you when I created the earth? And the morning stars sang together. And I began to call things into existence. Where were you, Job? Always remember, if God asks you a question, you're already stuck. That's more than you can comprehend. So, what is man, Lord? That thou art mindful of him, that before the foundation of the earth, Jesus Christ, your son, was slain. Before you ever created man, the plan of redemption already in place in heaven, the counsel of God had already decided in heaven the plan of salvation and what would take place and what would happen, and the eternal yes was given that Jesus would come and die, be born and suffer and die to redeem a man that he had not yet created. Before Lucifer fell. I created the smith that bloweth the coals, and I created the destroyer to destroy. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Gosh, that's beyond, Lord, maybe in eternity we can find out how important we are. How important are we to God? We're the most important thing in this whole universe to him. Of all his vastness and his greatness and all the nature and everything around us that declares his glory and speaks of him and shouts the name of God. In the midst of all that, here we are, feeble man, that is the center of his heart. We're the apple of his eye. We're the most precious thing to him that he has. This man, red man, mud man, made out of dirt that he blew his breath in, that we're created in his image. There's nothing else created in his image. There's things created in his likeness, but not in his image. We have the spirit just like him. We have the power to create life just like him. We're his heartbeat. Yet man and all his emptiness and pride and vanity won't serve him. Wow. What is man, Lord, that thou art mindful? David asked that same question. Why did you create me? Yet, each day we fight and we war with an enemy that's placed here on this earth that God knew would be our enemy. God knew would be our adversary. God knew we would go through warfare. God knew we would struggle. God knew we would fight. God knew we'd have to have faith. God knew all these things, but still yet, he created us and he created the destroyer to destroy. He created Jesus to redeem us, and he put us here in the fight of life for his pleasure. Wow. Who is God? What's the Bible say God is? God is what? Love. But God, you know, you think about this. God in all his glory and all his creation, all that he created angels, and angels worship him, and they have a heart. They worship him. And all of his creation worship him, and everything worships him. But now think of this. Nothing could ever know the love of God. And no one knows the love of God. And no one understands the heart of God. And no one can worship God except the redeemed. We understand the love of God more than any angel that's ever been created. We understand the compassion and the mercy and the gentleness of our Father. No angel could ever call him Father. Nothing can worship him and know him like you can because you've been redeemed. Angels have not redeemed. Now that's why the Bible says they look into our worship service and they have to stand back and they're amazed because we can sing the song of redemption. We can stand with tears running down our eyes and just coming out of the battle of our life, just being healed of cancer, or just being set free, or just being delivered from financial trouble, or just the loved ones come in, or are we just saved or whatever, and we come in to church in the presence of God with tears running down our face and with our hands lifted up, praising. There's nothing in creation that can do that except you. Nothing. Who would have ever known the Father except us? Nothing. A loving God that's so full of love, how could he show himself to the universe? How could he show himself and who he really is? The angels know him as God, and they worship him as God. And they fall down before him as God. And the trees clap their hands, and the birds sing, and the flowers bloom, the grass waves, and everything worships him in all creation. But none of it's been redeemed. None of it has been saved out of the clutches of hell except us. Except us. We know his love. That's why he said that our job as his church would show to the principalities and the powers of the air and show to all the creation his love. The manifold wisdom of our God. Nothing, all creation, no creation can know the manifold wisdom of who he is except us. Because he'd not been redeemed. Nobody went through the hell I went through. Nobody had given their life over to this destroyer that he was destroying, that he had me in his clutches, and I was empty and brokenhearted and sick and disgusted in life and no purpose and no reason. And he came and set me free. But nothing has the will like we do. He created us with a sovereign will and showed us his loving power and showed us who he really is. And so we can accept him or we can reject him. And when it's all over, he'll have a people and we'll be there and we'll be the redeemed. There's no one that'll ever be in this whole eternity and creation like you are and like you will hold the position that you'll hold in heaven. Nobody's been redeemed. You're the church. The Old Testament saints was not the church. They don't know what you know. They were not saved like you were saved. They're not the bride. The church is the bride. They're the friends of the bridegroom. They'll be there on the wedding day. They're the friends. We're the bride. We're the church. The redeemed. And we know him as Father. And we know his love. Like the angels don't know it. The trees don't know it. The birds don't know it. The rivers don't know it. The heavens doesn't know it. The galaxies or the solar system, whatever, they don't know it. What is man? We know it. We're the only thing he ever created knows him in that respect. Why did he create man? So the whole universe could see him. God is love. It's our job to sing about it. Our job to tell it. It's our job to live it. Our job to show it. And one day when you get to heaven, you'll have a position above angels. You and Jesus will sit at the right hand. We are. Redeemed. What are we, Lord? What is man? Why did you create us knowing that we'd fall? Knowing that man would need a redeemer. Knowing that your son would have to die. But how would creation know him in that aspect? It had to be Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, stand up. I didn't read any of the good scriptures I had. The day is good, I'm telling you. Didn't you enjoy that? Well, everything that you see around you, everything you see screams of God. He's a healing God. But we are His creation that He has given us to have authority over all of His creation. Now, does it break His heart when we don't worship Him like we ought to and serve Him like? Nobody can worship Him like we do. That's why He said, now, I will have a place and you go there. You're my redeemed. You're my church. One day you'll be my bride. And you go there. And you set aside a time, Saturday, Sunday, I don't care when you do it. And you all go there because you're the redeemed. And you all go there together as a family. Because you're a family. Nothing else is called family in heaven. The angels are not called family. We're family. And you go there as a family. And you call me Father. Because nobody else can call me Father. Nothing else has that right. And you call me Father. And you worship me as Father. And you sing the song of redemption. And you sing the song of glory. And when the destroyer comes, you put him under your feet. I've given you that right. Sure, he did it for his pleasure. But it's deeper than just that. Hallelujah. One day we'll see him. We'll sing that song forever. For eternity. 10,000 years from today, we'll still be singing the song of redemption. That's why the Bible says we'll have a new song that nobody can sing except us. What is it? The song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed. Amen. And we'll still have this Bible, and we'll still be talking about it, and we'll have the feast, and we'll have all the things they did without the sacrifices. No blood will be spilled. And all of them will speak throughout eternity of this great Savior that came in the center of God's creation, in the center of all of His glory, that saved this mud man. What is man, Lord, that Thou art my Lord? Hallelujah. Father, we call You Father. We are redeemed. We're Yours. Thank You, Lord. You've put all things under our feet. You've given us the privilege of having authority over the enemy, having the authority over the adversary, of singing the song of redemption, going to Your house, going to Your place, going with our family and meeting to where we come together as one to rejoice and declare that You are our Father. Thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for blessing the people. Thank You for calling us Your children. Hallelujah. Now we're called the sons of God. Now we're called the sons. Nothing else is called that except the church. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.